Okay, good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Shabbos daf Ayin Vav, the last daf of the seventh parak of Masechta Shabbos, and we'll see if we get to the beginning of the eighth parak of Masechta Shabbos. Today's shiur is sponsored by Dr. David Lander in honor of his wife and children, also by my uncle Jack and Aunt Jeanette Blumenkopf to commemorate the Shloshim for Super Zaidi for my wife's grandfather, Sender Blumenkopf, and by Tzippi and Rabbi Dr. Aaron Ross and the family to mark the first yahrzeit of their mother and grandmother, Masha Bas Yitzchak, Mrs. Marsha Fredman, and by Karen and Marky Benson, commemorating the ninth yahrzeit of Mark's father, Jack Benson, Yaakov Ben Yitzchak HaKoyen Zichron Levracha, whose yahrzeit was on the 23rd of Iyar. We thank all of the sponsors very much for the sponsorship, and all of the neshamos should have an aliyah through the zechus of our learning. So we are holding at the Mishnah on the bottom of Daf Ayin Heyman Beis, and the Mishnah is going to discuss the two criteria for one to be chayiv for hotza'ah. What kinds of items is one chayiv for being motzi mirashus the rashus on Shabbos? And there are going to be two criteria that the Gemara lays out. The Gemara is going to have a brief discussion of those criteria. Then the Mishnah is going to talk about, the Mishnah on top of Ayin Vav Amud Aleph is going to talk about the sheer hotza'ah for different types of animal food. How much do you have to carry out in order to be chayiv for different types of animal food? The Gemara is going to have two different versions of a machlokas about hotza'ah of one type of animal food for the purpose of another animal. Let's say I take out an amount of food that would be enough to feed one kind of animal, but I'm taking it out for the purpose of feeding a much larger animal where it wouldn't be nearly enough to feed the larger animals. That is shear of hotza'ah. And that's going to lead into a discussion about siruf of different shiurim. What if I have two different types of animal food mixed together, but they have different shiurim in terms of in order to be mechayiv for them? So can you be mitzarif the two shiurim? The Mishnah on the top of Amud Beis is going to discuss the shiur for human food, for food that that people enjoy. What is the proper shiur, and how do we cheshbin that shiur? Meaning there are many parts of the food that are not edible, or maybe not normally edible. That's sometimes people might eat. What about peels and things of that nature that come around food? Does that get included in the shiur of hotza'ah? And it continues into the eighth parak. The mission in the eighth parak continues to discuss the shiurim of hotza'ah for different items. So let's begin. We're holding on daf ayin hayam and beis. We're at the Mishnah on the bottom of the page. Says the Mishnah, va'od klal acher amru, aside from the klal gadol that we said at the beginning of the parak, that's the name of this parak, is klal gadol, they said another klal as well. Anything that's an item that's ra'ui for human use, that's kosher la'atznia, and it's the kind of thing that most people, you have enough of it that most people would view that as a substantial amount and therefore be matzniya it. So these are two separate criteria. One is the quality of the item, what kind of item is it? And the second is how much of that item do you have? So as far as the quality of the item, anything that people use, how much of it, the amount that people would normally use. V'otzio b'Shabbos, and a person carries such an item out on Shabbos from Rosh Hashanah to Rosh Hashanah, chayiv chatos lav, he's chayiv chatos for that hotza'ah. And it doesn't matter whether he's poor or rich, and whether this particular person benefits from that amount of the item. Maybe for him it's not so substantial, but if Rov B'nai Adam would view this as a substantial amount of that item, then everybody is going to be chayiv. And on the flip side, v'kol she'enu kasha la'atznia, if you have something that's not made for human use, and ve'ein matznin kamahu, or you have something that is made for human use, but you don't have enough of it. You don't have a shear that most people would put away, that most people would view as chashuv. Votzio b'Shabbos enu chayiv ela matznio. And you went and did hotza with it on Shabbos. Only the person who is actually matznia it, only a person who would actually view it as something that's chashuv, would be chayiv chatos. But other people who would do hotza on such items that are not ra'ui, that most people wouldn't use, or a shear that most people wouldn't view as chashuv, would be putter from the hotza'ah. So essentially, in order to be chayiv for hotza'ah, you need to fit two criteria. It has to be a min that's made for human use, and it also has to be a shear that most people would view as a chashuv enough shear. But if you're missing either one of those conditions, then you can be putter if you are motzi such an item. So when it says ve'ein matznin kamahu, it means if it's it's as if it says Rabbi Kivager points out, not and but or. It's or ein matznin kamahu. If you're missing either one of those criteria, then it's going to be pater. That is how Rashi understands our Mishnah. The Rambam in Pirush Mishnayos has a very different understanding of each of these phrases in the Mishnah. Each of these criteria, kol hakasher la'atznia, the Rambam understands means that it's ra'oi for guarding, meaning it's not going or for keeping for the long term, for storing away for the long term. Meaning many items, if you try to put them away for the long term, then they're just going to rot and they'll spoil and they won't be good. We're talking about things that are not going to be miskalkel when you put it away. And matznin kamohu means that it's a min, the type of item that people are machshiv, and it's not so easily found where you're just going to let it go and throw it out because it could so easily be replaced. It's the type of item that people are machshiv enough that they're not going to just throw it in the garbage, that they're going to pay attention to it. So that is the Rambam in the Perush of Mishnayos, a little different than the way Rashi understood the Mishnah. So it says the Gemara, Kalakasha Latznia Lafuke Mai. What is the Tana, what types of items is the Tana trying to exclude when he says the only things Yechayv Rotsah on are things that are Kasha Latznia, things that that's a min, we'll say Rashi's understanding, that's a min that people would normally use. So Rav Papa Amar Lafuke Damnida, it's coming to exclude Damnida. No one would ever put away Damnida because they have any use for the Damnida. Marukva Amar Lafuke Atze Ashera, it comes to exclude things that are also Bahana'a, like Atze Ashera, where you have no benefit for it. You have no way to use it in a permissible way. So you're going to, you're not going to save it. You're going to get rid of it as soon as you possibly can. The Shita Laran asks, why is it not the derech to be matznia damnida? People keep the damnida all the time when they have to ask a shayla. They put it away until they can ask a shayla, whether it's damtar or damtameh. So people do keep damnida all the time. So why do we assume that damnida is not included? So he suggests that in order to be married to a chacham, you don't need to bring all of the damnida. You just need one little stain of it. Over here we're saying the entirety of the damnida. Or he says, Rav Papa is talking about dam that was already shown to a chacham, meaning you're not matzniya it, you save it to show to a chacham, and then you throw it out. You're not gonna keep such things. The only people who would keep such stains are the chacham himself. Sometimes, if he needs to show it to other rabbanim, right? Sometimes you have a more senior chacham who's giving shimush and who's teaching the younger rabbanim. So such a chacham may keep stains around in order to show other people. I don't know if that changes the halacha. As far as whether you'd be chayev on hotza'ah for such stains, but anyway, man diyamar damnida kol shkei natzei asherah. So if you're going to say that damnida is what the Tana is trying to exclude, then certainly you'd exclude atzei asherah, which are asur ba'na'ah and their ma'us and your chayev to destroy them. Damnida is just something you have no interest in. Atzei asherah is much worse than no interest. Atzei asherah is something you really need to get rid of. Man diyamar atzei asherah, and according to Marukva, who says that the Tana is just trying to exclude atzei asherah because they're asur ba'na'ah and they're ma'us and you need to get rid of them. Aval damnida matzni l'shunra. But still, it's possible that a person might put away damnida because he might use it to feed a cat. So apparently, cats would eat damnida, and therefore, if he doesn't want to go out to the store and buy more cat food, they'll use the damnida to feed to the cat. So the Gemara says v'idoch, and Rav Papa, who says you're not chayiv on hotzah for damnida, even though you could give it to a cat. So kivan decholsha lo matzni. He said, no, since a person who a cat eats their dam is going to become weakened by the fact that a cat is eating their dam, the person would not put it away. That is how Rashi understands. Chol shela means not that the cat will get shvach from eating the dam, but when the cat eats the dam, the person whose dam it was will become weaker from that dam. Tosfos Maseches Nida on Yud Zayin Amud Aleph says that any time you have something that's a product of a human being, that you would get rid of, it could be mazik that person. The example, of course, being fingernails. That's why we get rid of the fingernails. You don't keep them around. They only have properties of hazik to the person. However, Rabbeinu Prachya explains that it's going to be chol shadaita of the woman, that she's going to assume that it's going to cause that it's a sakana for her if you are matzniya her dam, and therefore you would not be matzniya the dam. Not that it's she'll become weaker by the cat eating the dam, but she'll just be upset that you're putting away the dam, because she's going to view just the very fact that you're keeping the dam as a form of sakana. Rav Meir Arik in his Tel Torah explains that achilas dam nida is machlish the cat. That's the issue, that it weakens the cat itself. And he quotes Ramban in Vayikra Perek Yurches that dam nida is a samamaves, and its mame is kol bal chai that drinks it or that eats it. So therefore, it's a danger to the cat. In Maseches Avodah Zarah, the Gemara says that snake poison is not mazik a cat. So the poison of dam nida is not going to kill the cat, but it will only be machlish the cat. And that's why the Gemara uses the term machlish over here. So those are three interpretations of what it means that you're not going to put it away to feed to the cat, because it weakens. Either the person is weakened when the cat eats it, or the person is upset, the woman is upset when you put it away, or the cat is weakened when the cat eats it. Amar Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Chanina, Hai Delok Rabbi Shimon. This klal that our Mishnah says, that anything that's made for human use and it has a proper shear that a human would be machshiv, you're not allowed to be motzi, even if you happen to be an usher and this shear is not significant to you, because you happen to be very wealthy, so that's against Rabbi Shimon. Deik Rabbi Shimon, Ha'amar, Rabbi Shimon is going to say, later on in today's daf, when we talk about different shiurim, as far as hotzaas mashkin are concerned, that lo amru kala shiurim alalu ela lematzni ehen, that all of these shiurim are for regular people who would normally put away that amount of this food. But if you have an ashir, who he would never be machshiv this amount of food, so if he's motzi the shiur, that's not significant to him, even though it's significant to everybody else, he's going to be potter. That's against our Mishnah. Because our Mishnah said that even if you're an usher and the amount of food the item you're carrying is insignificant to you, since it's significant to Rov B'nai Adam, you're still going to be chayiv. V'kol she'eno kasha latznia, our Mishnah then went on to say, anything that people do not use, or you have less than the shear of the item that people would be machshiv, then only a person who actually does put it away and who actually does view it as a davar chashuv is going to be chayiv. Amr Rabbi Eliezer, Amr Rabbi Elazar, Ha de lo Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar. This klal, that anything that's not really something people would normally use and be machshiv, but one guy shows that he is machshivit, so he's chayiv on the hotzah of that item, but others would be potter, is against Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar. Titania klal Amr Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, kol she'enu kasha la'atznia, ve'in matznia kamohu, v'huchsha la'zev, itznio, uva acher va'otzio, nischayiv zev, b'machshav shel zev. That Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar said that if you have something that's not a min chashuv, or you have something that's a lesser amount of the item than anybody would normally be machshiv, but you have one guy who thinks that that this is a chashuv, he's machshivit, and someone else is motzi that item, so the guy who carries it is chayiv because of the machshava of the person who was matzniya that item. So if a person is motzi, this object is chayiv, even though it doesn't have the proper shear, because the guy who put it away, the guy who stored it in the first place, who was matzniya, it obviously was machshavit and did consider it to be a davar chashuv. From Rashi, it sounds that the chayiv of the motzi is because the matzniya the chiyuv of the motzi is because the motzi is being motzi at al das the matznia, and for the matznia it was a chashava item. It's similar to a Talmud that whose Rebbe tells him to clear some room for the seuda, that since he's being motzi for his Rebbe and al das his Rebbe, the fact that his Rebbe considers it significant is all that matters, whether the Talmud personally considers it significant or not. But someone else who does something al das atzmo, just because there's someone in the world who was matznia this item, who thinks it's chashuv, but I don't think it's chashuv, and I'm not carrying it for him, I'm not being motzi it for him, I'm being motzi it for myself, that would not be enough to be mechayev him. That's the mashmaus of Rashi. Tosos, and that's Rashi and Dafayin Chesom et Aleph in Dibra Maschel Davar. Tosos over there in Dibra Maschel Atu and other Rishonim as well say that according to Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, whenever you're motzi pachus mikashir, that someone else was matzniya, even if you're only being motzi at al das atzmo, you're going to be chayiv. If you do it for the matzniya, then even the chachamim would say that you're going to be chayiv because you're doing it for that person. So therefore, it is chashuv, meaning it's considered a chashuv act, whether you deem it as chashuv or not. You're not doing it for you, so it's your view of the chashivus l'kulei alma wouldn't matter in such a case, says Tosfos. Okay, new Mishnah now, says the Mishnah, hamotzi tevin, if a person, so again, the Mishnah is going to discuss the shear of different ma'achale behema, of different animal feed, and what amount of it are you chayiv for carrying, and that's the Mishnah is from here on, for a while, are shiurim of different items as far as the melacha of Hotsa'a is concerned. Rashi and many other Rishonim, the Ritva and others as well, point out that while we're giving these shiurim, it's still usher to carry even pachos mikashir, because the Gemara in Yuma tells us, Yuma Ein Gimel, that chatzi shir usher min haTorah. So it'd still be an issa daraisa to carry even less than the shir of all these items, but this is just the shir that for which one is chayiv karban chatas. But the Ramban on Tzadi Dalel Amud Beis and other Rishonim as well, the Ra'ah, say that if you're motzi pachos mikashir, yes, it's usher, but only midrabanan, that this would not fit into the category of chatzi shir asur min haTorah. But let's see what these shiurim are. Hamotzi teven kimlo pipara. If a person carries out straw, it's the amount that you would have to fill a cow's mouth with, because it is cow food generally. Otza, a person takes out the straw of beans, kimlo pi gamel, it's the amount that would feed a camel, because it is it's camel food. Amir, the hard stalks of the grain, kimlo pi Tileh, the amount that would feed a Tileh, because it's Tileh food. Asavim, different grass, kimlo pi gedi, the amount that would feed a gedi. Ale shum v'ale betzalim, garlic and onion leaves, lachim, if they're moist, grogeres. Then the shear is the shear of a grogeres, because then it's even edible for human beings, and the shear for human food is always going to be a grogeres. But yevashim, but if they're already dried out, so they're not going to be ra'ui for human consumption, then kimlo pi gedi. Then it's the amount that would feed a gedi, because only it would only be used to feed a gedi. But if it was moist and you carried out the shear that would feed a gedi, then you would not be chayiv, because when they are moist, you would never use it to feed a gedi. You would only use it for human food. That's how Rashi points out in Dibra Maschil Lachin. The Ritva wonders, why does Rashi have to say that? Even if it's ro'i, I mean, Rashi says it's not ro'i for a gedi to eat if it's moist. And since it's not ro'i for a gedi to eat, we follow the shear based on human food, not based on the food that you'd give to a gedi. So the Ritva asks, why do you even need to say that? Let's say it is ro'i for a gedi to eat. Still, you're not going to be machmir on the tzah kimlo pi gedi, because it's more common that you'd use it for human beings than it is that you would use it for a gedi. Meaning, if it's ro'i for both, then of course we should follow the shear of a human being and not of a gedi. Because anyway, that's what you would use it for. That's what the Gemara in Tainus has an expression that Meichel Adam ain't Machilin LeBehema. That if you have something that you could use for Meichel Adam, you wouldn't use that. It's considered like a Bizo Yochlin to downgrade it and give it instead to a Behema. So that's the Ritva's Kasha on Rashi, why Rashi has said it. It could be Rashi was just saying it as a point of fact, meaning in fact, when it's moist, it's not Ra'ui for a Gedi. But Lamaisa, you don't even need that Lahalacha. Even if it is Ra'ui for a Gedi, the shear would be based on a Grogeres of a human being. Ve'im Nitzar from Zen Zen. Critically, these different shiurim of different types of food, of animal food, are not mitzarif with each other, because they don't have the same shiurim, and the only way shiurim could be mitzarif with each other is when they are the same, when they have the same shear. So then you could take two different items that have the same shear and be mitzarif them with each other. So my atza, what is atza? We listed that as one of the animal foods in the Mishnah. Review the teven shel mine kitnis. It's the straw of certain types of beans. It's the byproduct that comes out from in between the beans. Kiyas Rav Dimi, when Rav Dimi came from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel, so he came with the following report. Amar hamotzi teven kamelo pipara legamal. Let's say you take teven enough to feed a cow, and teven is primarily cow food, so normally you would be chayiv in that, but your intention is not to feed a cow. Your intention is to feed a gamal, and a gamal has a larger mouth than a cow. So what you're carrying out for the intention that you're carrying it out for, it's not sufficient. It's an insufficient amount. So Rabbi Yochanan says you're still chayiv to bring a korban chatos, even though you didn't bring enough out to feed a camel, because tevin is ra'i l'achilas para. So the shear of tevin is determined by achilas para, regardless of what you intend to do with it. The shear you brought out a significant shear of tevin. Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish amar pater. They can be pater from a chatos because for what you intended to bring it out, it's insufficient, and therefore it is not a shir chashuv. So says the Gemara Ba'orta amar Rabbi Yochanan Hachi. Rabbi Yochanan initially said that you're chayiv when you bring out this amount of teven, even though your plan is to feed it to a gamal and it's insufficient to feed a gamal. He said that initially, but let safra hadabay. The next morning when he woke up, he changed his mind and he agreed to Reish Lakish. Amar Rav Yosef, Shaper Avadahadar. Rav Yosef comments, it's a good thing that he changed his mind and that he now says that you're pater talo chazi legamal, because you're being motzi it for a gamal, and it's not enough for a gamal. It's not enough to feed a camel. The halacha is, Bnei Yeshua points out, when it comes to the sheer gross of a person, we say that it doesn't matter whether you're trying to feed a very tiny person or whether you're trying to feed Og Melech HaBashan. You're trying to feed a person who's on like one of these crazy diets and just eats like 3 ounces of food a day or something, or you're trying to feed someone who's does those July 4th hot dog eating competitions. It doesn't make a difference who you're feeding. A gross is a sheer gross. That's always going to be considered the same. Nevertheless, Pnei Yeshua says, Rav Yosef holds, as far as Michael Behema, it has to be totally on your Kavana. That's only a din by Michael Adam. So why would that be the case? So Rav Yosef Engel in Asvan Daraisa in Klal Chaf Hei explains that Abai and Rav Yosef are in disagreement whether by Melecha Shabbos we go after the Machshava or we go after the Maisa. The Rav Yosef holds that we follow the Machshava. So since your Machshava was to feed a Gamal, and it's not wrong, so your maisim are not enough to be your maisa is not considered a violation of the melacha tzah and your pater. Whereas Abai says that we follow the maisa, and since you did this maisa and you were motzi yashir, that maisa in any other context is considered a maisa of hotzah. The machshava is not going to be enough to be mafgia the shei melacha from such a maisa. So I'm like Abaye says back to Rav Yosef, you're saying that Rabbi Yochanan changed his mind and it's a good thing he changed his mind. Adrabak, the Meikara Mistavra. I think Rabbi Yochanan never should have changed his mind. What he said originally made the most sense. Meaning when he said that you carry a proper shear of cow food out into Rosh Hasharabim, I don't care that you intend to feed a gamal. You're carrying a proper shear of cow food and you should be chayiv. And I think he should have stuck with that. The chazi lepara, because you're bringing out enough for a para, and therefore that's a shear chashuv. And the fact that you have a machshava to feed it to a gamal, that's not enough to be mevatel the chashivos inherent in this amount of Teven. Eloki Asa Ravin. So when Ravin came from Eretz Yisrael, he said, no, Omar, he said that we got it all wrong. That the way it goes is as follows. Hamotzi Teven Kamlo Pi Para Legamal to Kulei Amalo Pligi Dechayiv. Everyone agrees with what Rabbi Yochanan originally said, what we thought Rabbi Yochanan originally said, that if you're carrying enough tevin to feed a cow, even if you intend to give it to a gamal, everyone's going to agree you're chayiv in that case. Ki pligi b'motzi atza k'melo pipara lepara. You take out enough atza, which is normally used to feed a gamal, but not enough to feed a gamal, only enough to feed a para, and your intention is to feed a para, and the para will eat it, but it will eat it only Ali Day Ad Chak. It's not typical para food, it's typical gamal food. So you take out camel food to feed a cow, not enough to feed a camel, only enough to feed a cow. The cow will eat it, but only Ali Day Ad Chak. V'ipchi itmar, and the shitos are reversed. Rabbi Yochanan or Pater, Rabbi Yochanan says you Pater, because that inherently is not enough atza. Normally atza is the sheer chash of atza, the amount that you need to feed a gamal. And Reish Lakish Amar Chayiv, Reish Lakish says that you're going to be chayiv because for what you intend to do with it, to feed a cow, it is enough. You're bringing out enough to feed a cow. So the Gemara explains why each one holds what they hold. Rabbi Yochanan Amar Pater, Achila Lidat Chak Lo Shma Achila, that the shear of Atza to be Chayav for the Atza is always based on Pia Gamal, not based on Pia Para, even when you intend to feed a Para, because it's not called an Achila when something has to eat Al Yideyat Chak. So the shear has to be determined based on how it would normally be used. Reish Lakish Amar Chayav, because Achila Lidat Chak Shma Achila. He does consider it to be an Achila, even though it's al yedei adchak, and therefore the shear can be reassessed based on what you plan to use it for. And since you want to feed it to a cow, the shear is going to be assessed based on using it for a cow. Okay. Amir kamlo pi tleh. Then we said that if you're carrying out Amir, then the shear is kamlo pi tleh. So Vatanya, the Brisa tells us kigrogeres, that the shear of Amir is kigrogeres. Idi vidi chad shiuruhu. Yeah, that's the same thing. Ali shum ali b'salim lachim kigrogeres v'yiveshim kamlo pi agdi ve'ein mitzarfim zem zem ne shalosh shavu b'shiurehen. So then the Mishnah went on to say that if you talk about the leaves of onions and of garlic, depends if they're moist or if they're dry, but you cannot be mitzari if the moist ones with the dry ones because they have a different shear. Amr Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Chanina ain mitzarfin lechamer shebehen. Whenever we say that two things that have different shear are not mitzarif, it means they're not mitzarif to the more chamer shear, to be mashlim the smaller shear among them. So if you have ali shum and ali bitzalim that are dry, that have a smaller shear, but you have less than a melopi gedi of it, to mix in a few moist leaves to be mashlim the melopi gedi would not do anything. Avul mitzarfin lekal shebehen, but to be mashlim the larger shear, you can use items that would be enough in a smaller shear. So if you have just less than a grogros of the moist leaves, so you have just under a grogros, you could be mashlim that shear with some of the dry leaves, even though the dry leaves are not fit for human consumption, but that's the smaller of the two shiurim, so they could be mitzarif, and one is going to be chayiv for being motzi. Tosus points out in Dibra Maslim Lipnei that if you motzi atza that doesn't have kimlopi gamal and tevin that's for a para, so that is mashlim to the melopi gamal, you're going to be chayiv, because it could be that agav the atza, the tevin becomes roi l'achilas hagamal. So it sounds like if after the tziruf, it's not roi for achilas para, nor for achilas gamal, because neither one wants the other one's food, then you're not going to be chayiv, because you brought out something that's ain't a roi l'klum, you brought out something that has no use whatsoever. That's how the Reim Horovitz is medayik from Tosos, and it's only when being mashlim the shear makes it useful. But if even after you mashlim the shear, it's absolutely useless because now you've ruined it for everybody. It's a kind of food that a gumbel doesn't want because it's mixed with cow food, and a cow doesn't want because it's mixed with gumbel food, then that's considered to be insignificant. So says Mar Vakal, Dilo Shavu B'Shiurayu Mimit Starfin. Wait, do you mean to tell me that there are things that have different shiurim and yet they're mitzarif with each other as long as you're doing it in the right direction? Vatanan, but don't we have a Mishnah Maseches Kalim that talks about the shear of the size of different begadim that are mekabel tumah? So we said habeged shlosh al shlosh. If you have a beged made out of, whenever we refer to a stam beged, it means tzemer or pishtim, right? That's in the Torah that we learn from Shatnes, that tzemer or pishtim, and that's why according to many Rishonim, even a beged of tzitzis is only chayiv in tzitzis if it's made out of tzemer or pishtim. That's the shita of Sfardim, or the shita of Mechaber against the Rama. So whenever you have the shear of a beged made out of tzemer or pishtim, so the shear to be mekabel tumas medrus is 3x3 tefachim. Vas sak, if it's made out of like goat hair, so then the shear to be mekabel tumah is arba'a al arba'a. It needs to be larger because it's a less refined beged. Va'or, if it's leather, chamisha al chamisha, then it needs to be 5x5 tefachim. Mapatz, if it's a mat that's made out of reeds or something like that, then shishal shisha, then the shear is 6x6 tefachim in order to be chashuv. V'tani Allah, the Mishnah says, Meseches Meila, habeged v'asak hasak v'or ha'or v'amapatz mitzar from zem zeh, that these things can be mitzarif with each other, to be mashlim the larger of the two shiurim. So of, let's say you have sack that's less than arba'a al arba'a tfachim, beged, which is chashuv, even in a smaller shear, could be mashlim in combination with that sack to equal the shear of 4x4 tfachim, but only in such a way as it mitztarif. If it's beged, Tosos points out, if it's beged with sack, or sack with or with mappets. But if you take beged and or sack with mappets, then it doesn't combine with each other, and certainly not beged with mappets, and not mitzayiv with each other, because you would never combine them with each other, meaning it's unnatural to combine them with each other. But if you have just one level up, that's natural to mix them together, to patch them together, and that would be enough. That would therefore create a tziruf. The explanation is that the thickness of these items are different from each other. So even if you just want to use it as a cloth to put over the back of the camel, when you ride on the camel, you wouldn't have two items of such varied thickness. Slight differences in thickness, yes, but such significant differences in thickness, you would never do. The Tosfos in Maseches Sukkah, though, on Daf Yud Zayin and Beis, understands differently. He says, no, the reason we choose these examples of being mitztaref, it's true, it's only these, it's only beged and sak, and sak and or, and are in mappats, but not because of the different levels of thickness, but because of the different shiurim, that they're at least close in their shiurim. So even when you're going to say two different shiurim are mitztarif, even that's got to be limited when the shiurim are somewhat close to each other. But to take shiurim that are all over the map, to take one thing that has a shiur of 3 tvachim, and another thing that has a shiur of 6 tvachim, and combine them with each other, that Tosa says that you can't possibly do. V'amr Rabbi Shimon Matam, what's the reason that the two minim are mitztarif with each other for a shir tuma, in the tamei moshav, because a person might use it for something that he would sit on the back of a donkey that he's riding on. So since it is something that you would be mitzdarif, you would patch together to sit on, so therefore it's tamei moshav. But says the Gemara, here's our kasha. Taima, the reason that we're mitzdarif these two types of begadim to be makabel tumah with each other is deruim the tamei moshav. It's because they serve some function. When you put them together, they can become Tamei Moshav. We do find that people are mitztarif them. Aval ein roi the Tamei Moshav lo. But if they would not be roi to be Tamei Moshav together, you would not be mitztarif them with each other to be mashlim the shir tuma. So then we're stuck with the kasha. How could Rabbi Chanina say that all the minim that are mentioned in the Mishnah are mitztarif to be mashlim the lesser shir? It's not normal to be mitztarif them and to put it in front of a behema that wouldn't normally eat it. I mean, you're going to take two different types of animal, feed and mix them together. Why would you ever do that? No one ever takes two different types of animal, feed and mix them together. The only time we're ever going to have a tziruf of shiurim is when it's at least normal to be mitztarif the things. So Amar Rava, Rava answers, it is normal. Hachanami chazya ledugma. That over here also, when it comes to different types of animal food, there's a way to that they would be mitztarif when they put all the minim together, when you're using it as like a sample to drum up business. So they would put all the different types of animal food in a single bowl, I guess, to show the different varieties that he has, so that someone who's walking by in the shuk could know what you have available. Why would you put them all together? So the Rishonim explain, Rashi explains, because otherwise they'll be mispazer al yedei aruach. If you just have them in separate places, one wind, one breeze will come, and they'll all go all over the place. So you need to have them in a single clump so that they won't easily scatter. Okay, last Mishnah now in the Perek, says the Mishnah. Hamotzi ochlim, if a person carries out human food, grogeris and the shear of grogeris, chayiv, he's going to be chayiv, umitstarfim ze imze, and they are mitstarif with each other, mepreshashav b'shiurein, because all the food has the same shear. So since all human food has the same shear, it's all going to be mitstarif with each other for hotzah. Chutz, but we don't count into the cheshbin of the shear of a grogros, miklipasan, the shell of the fruits, vegarinehen, and their seeds, v'uktsehen, and the tail, so to speak, of the pri, that's not mitzdarif together with the rest of the pri. Like the Rosh Yosef points out that when we say the shells are not going to be included, it really depends on the food, right? A shell of a nut would not be included because it is absolutely inedible. But the shells of an apple, let's say, the peel of an apple, certainly people eat that, and that would certainly be mitzdarif to the shear. What he's not sure about is what about like an orange peel? It's not normally eaten. but it can be eaten. People do eat it. You know, sometimes they even have chocolate covered orange peels for people who like disgusting things and drowned in chocolate. As long as you can drown anything in chocolate to prove the how geschmack chocolate can be, or whatever the you're trying to prove. But people can eat it. It's something that's edible that a person is able to digest. The suban and mursanan, and the suban and the mursan also is. Doesn't get included. That's the byproducts of the wheat that you're the inedible part after you crush the kernels, and the morsan is after you sift it out what's left behind in the sieve. Rabbi Yehuda Omer chutz miklipa adoshin shemespashal simahin. There's one type of klipa that would count even though it's not really inherently edible. The klipa around adoshim, around lentils, because it gets cooked together with the lentil, and therefore ultimately gets eaten together with the lentil, and therefore. It's mitzarif, but the outer klipa that you would take off in the processing of the lentils, that would not be mitzarif. We're talking about the part that gets that actually gets cooked with it. The Rosh Yosef quotes that the Rambam in Pirush HaMishnayos writes that we don't pasken like Rabbi Yehuda, which makes it sound like the Tanakhama disagrees with Rabbi Yehuda, and Tanakhama would hold the klipas hadashim are not mitzarif. However, the Rif quotes the Gemara that discusses Shitas Rabbi Yehuda, so it sounds like the Rif does hold like Rabbi Yehuda, because the Rif must hold that Rabbi Yehuda is not arguing on the Tanakhama, he's just coming to be Mosif al Tanakhama, right? He's just adding one detail about Klipe Adashim that the Tanakhama didn't account for when the Tanakhama just said a more general statement. So the Suban and Morsan and Lom Mitzarif, and ask the Gemara, is that true that Suban and Morsan are not Mitzarif Atnan, but don't we have a Mishnah Meseches Chala that tells us Chameshas Ravan Kemach Va'od Chayav Mechala Hain Visuban Umar Sanan? So don't we see Meseches Chala when it comes to figuring out whether you have a shear to be chayiv Meseches Chala? You don't only count the flour itself, the grain itself, the kernel itself. You count the suban and the morsan as well. So don't you see that is considered human food, and therefore it should be mitzarif to the shear of a grogros for otzah and Shabbos as well? Am Rabbi Shekeinani Ochel Pito Be Isa Belusa. Rabbi says no, it's different. A poor person might eat flour that has suban and morsan mixed in. So as far as the chiyuv of challah is concerned, the Torah tells us in Parsha Shlach that lechem ha'aretz. So lechem that an ani would eat qualifies as lechem ha'aretz. But by Shabbos, you're only chayv on a davar chashuv. You're only chayv for carrying out a davar chashuv. And lechem that has suban and morsan mixed in is not something that most people would eat. Therefore, it's not chashuv, and therefore it's not mitzarif to the shear of a grogris. Rabbi Yehuda Amar chutz miklipe adashim aspashal simayin. Rabbi Yehuda said that the klipe adashim do armit sarif to the shear because they get cooked together with it. So ask the Gemara from Rabbi Yehuda, it sounds that klipos adoshim in Polin low, that it's lentil shells, but bean shells are not mitzarif. V'atani Rabbi Yehuda chutz miklipe Polin ve'adoshim, but don't we have a brisa where Rabbi Yehuda says both? So lo kasha. Habachadati habatiki. The brisa that says klipos polin are mitzarif is talking about new beans, and by new beans, even the klipe polin are mitzarif. The one that the Mishnah says that only klipe adoshim is talking about old beans, and by old beans, the only klipe adoshim and not klipe polin are mitzarif. What's the svara? Atiki, my time alone. Why by old beans should klipe polin not be mitzarif? Amar Biavo, Nirin kizvuvin baka'ara. They get very dark, they get blackened, and because of that they look like a bunch of bugs in the plate. So people would not cook them together with their beans, because it will you won't be able to tell the difference between that and a bug, and it will look like it's infested. So they would that's why they would not be mitzarif to the shear, because no one would ever use it in that way. Hagdol lachal gadol. Before we start the next part, just a question of halacha here. We've been talking a lot about siruf of different foods. So we said when it comes to human food, it's always a shear grogros. That's the shear of human food for hotza'ah. Now the Magen Avraham just points out that all ochlim are mitzarif for the kazayis, the shear of when it comes, that's as far as hotzah and Shabbos is a grogris. But when it comes to mitzvahs achila, right, so when it comes to or isurei achila, that which you must eat or are not allowed to eat, the shear is always a kazayis. And yet when it comes to a mitzvah of shtia or isurei shtia, the shear is always going to be a revius. So are those mitzarif? What about if I'm eating something, a person is eating eating something on Yom HaKippurim. So are you going to be mitzarif the einitzti pachas mikashir? So you're going to be mitzarif pachas mikashir of a liquid with pachas mikashir of a solid. So Magen Avraham writes, as in Hilchos Brachos, in Hilchos Bracha Achronos, in Reishud, Magen Avraham writes that all food is mitzarif to kazayis to be mechayiv in Bracha Achrona. All drinks are mitzarif to revius, but if you're ochel v'shose, they're not mitzarif to each other, and that's based on what it says in Hilchos Yom HaKippurim in Siman Tav Reish Yud Beis, that they're not mitzarif to each other. That if a person is lo aleinu, a person is ill and they need to eat on Yom HaKippurim, so if they're able to get away with eating pachos mikashir and still be healthy enough through that, then that's what we recommend that they do. If a person knows in advance that they're going to be ill, in my limited experience, it's always enough. Pachas mikshir, if you do it properly, is always enough. Most people do not need to eat more than pachas mikshir. The only time a person has to eat more than a shir on Yom Kippur is if they didn't realize that they were going to get so sick and they dehydrate or something like that, and they're caught off guard, and then they just have to load up very quickly on liquids or whatever. So that's usually the only time a person has to have more than a shir. But in Hilchos Yom HaKippurim, the shir of machal and mashke are not mitzarif with each other. However, Magen Avraham writes, let's say you take your challah and you dip it in your soup, or you take your challah, assuming soup has a shear of a revius, that's also a question. Not so clear about that either. It could be that the definition of what's called a meichel and what's called a mashke is not determined based on liquid versus solid, or solid versus liquid. It's based on how something is eaten. Is it eaten to satiate you and nourish you, or is it taken as a drink, as a beverage? A soup is generally not taken as a beverage. So there's an argument to be made that soup would be a shir kazayis, not a shir avias. So maybe that was a bad example. But let's say you take, says Magen Avraham, you take your challah and you dip it in your wine, right? So that, he says, then it's the wine is misayiv to the shir of a kazayis. Because once then it becomes absorbed in the food, it becomes part of the food. Then it would be a shir kazayis. But if you're going to have a sip of wine and a bite of challah, so that is not going to be mitzarif with each other. Okay, we'll stop there. Tomorrow we'll pick up with the new parak, with the eighth parak of Masechta Shabbos. Everyone have a great day.